Hello and welcome to the Project Love podcast. I'm Selena Barker.
And I'm Vicky Pavitt. In these podcasts, we explore what it takes to create a life, relationship and career you love.
And not just one that looks good on the outside, but one that feels good on the inside.
We are so excited about talking about this topic today. It is such a juicy one, such an important one, and one that I don't think we do actually talk about enough. So today we're going to be talking about why we have to learn to dream again. Now, this is something that I've been banging on about for I think over a decade now, because I've found in all the time that I've been coaching people that the biggest blocker to people actually going out and creating the lives that they really want to live, a life that really makes them happy, really has them feeling fulfilled, and being able to bring about positive change, not just in their own lives, but in the world around them, the biggest blocker is that they don't allow themselves to dream and they don't recognize the power of dreaming. And I think one of the main reasons why our society really genuinely does have a problem with dreaming is because of our education system. So if you think about what messages you were given at school about dreaming, what were they?
Stop daydreaming.
Yeah, you got that, didn't you, in your school report? Exactly. Children are allowed to dream to a certain extent, little children are allowed to dream, but it's considered to be like the same as fantasizing. You know, it's not real and it's not gonna get you anywhere. And the message we get at school, just like stop daydreaming, is that in some way there's a problem with it.
Yeah.
Like it's, you know, and anyone who dreams a lot, it's a worry. It's a worry to the parents and the teachers. They seem to have in their head in the clouds, they're dreaming all the time.
Yeah.
And it's really interesting. In fact, it's actually a little bit scary when you look at why it would be that our education system would discourage us from dreaming. Seth Godin talks about this brilliantly in his TED Talk. Called Stop Stealing Dreams, and I watched it the other day again and it brought me to tears, because it just shows how the education system, particularly in the UK and the US, and I know it's different in other countries, but particularly my experience obviously is from the UK, they don't want to have dreamers. They want you to become compliant, they want you to become good employees, good workers. Not thinkers. They want you to be doers. They want you to learn to obey rules and stick to the curriculum. The top priority of our education system is not for us to leave as human beings that are able to dream and follow their dreams. That is the last thing that they want, particularly within a school system. And that sounds a bit, I don't want it to sound like, you know, they're oppressing us and keeping us down. But actually, if you watch Seth Godin's TED Talk, and you watch Ken Robinson, so Ken Robinson talking about education and creativity, it explains why an education system that has come out from the industrial era is all about training people to be ready for the factory, training people to be ready for the office and the 9 to 5. And Seth Godin says it really well. Dreamers in school are dangerous. Dreamers can be impatient, unwilling to become well-rounded, and most of all, hard to fit into existing systems. And then he says, the century of dream snuffing has to end. And it's just like, oh my God. And for me, the reason I'm so passionate about it is that I really see that the magic we have as human beings is our ability to dream. No other animal has this. We are able to dream, we're able to visualize, we're able to imagine something in our minds. And then with commitment, effort and actions, we are able to make that dream real. And if you look at the people who have made, if you look at people who are really living fulfilling lives, who are really fulfilling their potential, or you look at the great Olympic athletes, or you look at people making big change in the world and making amazing things happen, and the ones making not good change in the world and big terrible things happen, all of them, they do dream, they do allow themselves to dream, and they do follow those dreams. So it kind of fascinates me that when it gets to that level of operating in the world, people are allowing themselves to dream. They are using their dreaming muscle, but most of us are being told not to. And I do also understand, you know, looking at why we don't dream, I think parents protecting their children, albeit well-meaning, are also playing a really significant role in making sure that their children squash those dreams, stop dreaming. I was told when I left university, stop dreaming. Like, enough, you know, you've got, you're in the real world now. Yes, it would be lovely if you had a job that you loved and that you had the freedom to do what you wanted, where you wanted, but this is the real world. Mm-hmm. And work is called that for a reason, because it's hard. And that is what I was told. But what happened to me, and I'll go into it a bit later on in this podcast, that my father suddenly went after a huge dream, and that changed everything for me. Suddenly, I went from being told, stop being a dreamer, to going, not only am I going to continue dreaming, but I'm actually going to take my dream seriously. And it completely changed the course of my life. And now I find when I'm coaching people that so much of it comes down to giving them the space and encouraging them to dream again.
Mm-hmm.
And to then take those dreams seriously, take themselves seriously, mm-hmm. and recognize the magic we have of being able to have a dream. Mm. And then bring it to life. Mm. And that's like when I realized I could do that. When the first times I started, like, I had a dream and I made it real. I remember saying, it's like I've got a magic wand, like I'm my own fairy godmother. And the fulfillment you get from having a dream and then bringing it into life,
mm.
I actually think a lot of the lack of fulfillment a lot of people come to us with,
mm.
in some part, particularly when it's around career and you know, your life design, is because we're not using our innate magic as human beings to be able to do that. And that's why I am so passionate about this, and I can literally talk about this forever. Vicky, you use visualization a lot in your coaching, don't you?
Yeah. So when I help clients who want to be in a relationship and it is a dream of theirs, that's what they ultimately want. They want to experience a really happy and healthy and loving relationship. And the first step really is to visualize themselves in the future, really experiencing that relationship and seeing what it looks like and what it feels like to them. And I think that's where you start to see a shift in thinking that it's something that happens for other people. You know, all my friends are in relationships, but it's not something that I'm ever going to experience, and I'm single now and it feels like all the good guys are gone and it's just never going to happen for me. And it's there when they start really seeing themselves in the future, really experiencing it, they start to see that it's possible for them.
Yeah.
And they start to really believe that that is inevitable in the future for them. It's not just something that's never going to happen for them. It's a case of that is going to happen for me. It's not a case of if, it's when that will happen for me. And the reason why it's so powerful, visualizing why it's so powerful, is because the mind can't actually tell the difference between what is real and what is imagined. So imagining something in the future actually primes our body to act in a way that's consistent to what we imagined. So we're therefore more supported to get what we want. And it's the reason why athletes have been using this technique for decades to improve their performance. And research actually shows this technique increases performance by improving motivation, coordination, concentration, whilst also reducing fear and anxiety. And it's why Formula One drivers will visualize winning the race before they get in the car.
But this is what I think is so crazy. It's just like people who are operating at that level, like the highest performers, the people that are making the biggest things happen out there in the world and achieving greatness.
Yeah.
They use dreaming as a practical tool to achieve those things.
Mm-hmm.
And yet the average person out there on the street is being told not to use it at all. I'm like, what? It makes me so freaking angry, because I know that it makes such a difference. So as soon as we start getting our clients dreaming, that's when the change starts. Like, every big change in life has to start with someone having a dream. Like, whether it's about their own life or whether it's about the world at large, that's how every big change starts. So why are we not learning at school? And I think this isn't a topic about we need to get this into schools. Well, that's for another podcast. That's for career number two. But I think, you know, so much of what I find myself doing when I'm coaching people is, whether it's on our courses or whether it's the one-to-one coaching, but it's getting them to unlearn a lot of what they were taught at school. And so I don't want it to just be for, you know, a new wave of education that teaches people this. I want everyone to be able to learn this. And actually, what's exciting is that it doesn't take much for people to learn to dream, because it's so, it is such a natural tool of ours.
Yeah.
Everyone can do it.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go a little bit more into in a moment how, you know, how it's not the same as dreaming like a child. Because there's a lot of stuff out there that, we need to go back to how we dreamed as children. No, because then everyone's going to be like on X Factor thinking they should be the next Beyonce. And we got enough of those. That's definitely not what I'm talking about. That's the different end of the spectrum. That also doesn't work. But the childlike dreaming is to go, I want to be an astronaut. And then it's great. And then they run around the garden for the afternoon being an astronaut. That's childlike dreaming. That is brilliant. They have wonderful, expansive imaginations. What we need to be doing is showing children how to use that ability to dream as a really practical tool so you can use it to start visualizing whatever change it is you want to create in your life, or whatever new life or career or relationship you want to create for yourself, because that is the first step. That is an essential tool to creating a life that you love. If you can't dream, it can't happen. That is where you have to start. But one of the problems we come up against is people's resistance to dreaming. What I often find when I'm coaching someone and I ask them, in an ideal world, if you had a magic wand, what life would you dream up? Once we're in that fantasy world, people often can dream up anything.
Yeah.
Because they've been given permission that, don't worry, this is never going to be real. So, you know, if you won $1 million, if you won the lottery, then people can kind of dream. Or people will have dreams of, in like 25 years or 20 years, I would love to have this thing. They would never think that they could have it now. Mm. And as soon as you go into, in real time, what are we going to do? What are you going to do for yourself this year? They're suddenly thinking so small within such a limited sort of option of possibilities that are really sensible and really restrictive. And, you know, based around, maybe it'd be nice to go down to a 4-day week. It's just like, is that it? So you're telling me that, you know, in an ideal world, you would be living in Barcelona, doing work that you love, in a great relationship. But as soon as we bring into what you think is possible, you're going, well, maybe it'd be nice to go down to a 4-day work week in my job in London. It's just like, how are these two things so separate? And it's because I think we either think dreaming is fantasy. We don't actually take that dream seriously and go, how can I start working towards that? And how can I start making that real now and not just in 25 years? And I know this is something that you've been kind of like working on recently in your own life. Tell us a bit about that.
Yeah. So last year when I got married, I took a month off and I was in Spain, I was in Greece, and just really enjoying celebrating the wedding and, you know, enjoying my honeymoon. But it was the first time that I'd ever had a month off work, school, college, uni, anything.
Yeah.
I had been just in do mode for pretty much my whole adult life.
Yeah.
And living a very full-on life. And during my honeymoon, I was doing a reflection exercise, one that Selena had actually designed for us. She gave us a honeymoon pack for us to do.
Yeah.
And there were questions for us to do individually and together. And a lot of the questions were engineered towards really imagining your dreams and your future, your dream life. And I had always been quite blocked about the future because I've been so overwhelmed in the present that I didn't have capacity to really be thinking about the future, really too far in the future anyway. It was probably like next year. And I couldn't really see beyond that. And I remember writing down in one of the exercises that one of my dreams is to actually have a finca in Spain, similar to where we got married. And I thought, God, that's quite amazing that I've been able to imagine something that far ahead. So I was imagining me in 25 years feeling really settled there and having designed the space. And Pav and I, my husband and I, we talk about having a dream house one day, but it feels very much one day, or if we won the lottery, it never feels like it's something that we could actually start planning and engineering now. And since then, I think that's when I started to flex my dream muscle, because now I'm a lot more available, I guess, and to think about my future. And a dream that's come out of that since then is to move to Ibiza. And it was when
heard it here first. Pav. This is news to her husband.
He's like, what?
We're going, where? When?
And yeah, it was like I was over there in May for a wedding, and I remember coming out, stepping off the plane and coming out the airport, and I just got this feeling of warmth and familiarity, and I just felt really connected to the place. I've been there a few times over the years, and I just thought, oh my God, like I just started imagining me living there and coaching from there, working from there. And while we were there, we had the best week. And you know what I love about it? It's just the sense of ease, the beauty of it, the vibe there. It feels like it's got all the ingredients of things that we want to fill our lives with. And so we did talk about it when we were there earlier this year about maybe we could live there. And it started those conversations, but it wasn't until I was at a festival, I was at Obanyan Festival in Croatia this summer, and I attended this workshop, and one of the exercises was to declare a dream to your partner, and there was some preparation work to get into that space, and I said it aloud to this stranger, and I think it's because she was a stranger, it just felt even more powerful just saying it out loud to her, and she was so enthusiastic, even more than me, because I said it and I was excited, but in the back of my mind was, oh, but the housing market, what people have told you about it,
yeah,
and it's really expensive and everybody says that and da da da, and all the blogs I've written and all the I haven't written any blogs that I've been there
so many blogs that I've been there
and all the blogs that I'd read about it. And, you know, it just kind of got me thinking that maybe it could happen, but maybe it wouldn't be in the next 2 years. Maybe it would be like 5 years or more.
Yeah.
And then I bumped into this same girl, like the next day at the festival. And she was like, oh my God, I've been thinking about your dream about Ibiza. And she's like the most gorgeous, gorgeous girl. And I was like, oh yeah. And that, and her enthusiasm was really infectious. And it made me think, it made me reconsider, maybe I'm letting fear rule this dream, and I'm not letting my creative side, you know, really explore and expand on this dream.
Yeah.
And then I told you, I think when I got back from Omi, I was telling you about this workshop. And then
I was like, oh, if you, well, I remember one client saying to another of mine, oh my God, be careful. If you've got a dream, be careful declaring it to Selena. Because she is not going to let go of it after that. Because, so, you're moving to Ibiza. And it's like 2 to 3 years. Definitely.
Yeah.
But I think it's so, you know, some of us, again, it's about allowing ourselves to dream and then actually taking that dream seriously and going, hang on, let's look at how we can make this possible.
Yeah.
Why are we immediately, I see this all the time with people going, oh, well, obviously in an ideal world, I would do this. I'm like, so why the hell are we not planning for you to do that? People will go, well, the big dream, of course, is this. But I mean, that's unlikely. So instead, I'm going for these smaller dreams. And what happens is, the smaller dreams, just there's something not quite working. And I'm like, if you went for the big dream, watch what will happen. Stuff will start to flow. Opportunities will start to come up. And again, it comes back to, we're not taught this. We're not taught that a dream is the beginning of the process, is the beginning of the full creative process of being the artist of your own life. You start with the dream and then you have to kind of dig into it and go, where is this coming from? Like, you know, where is this dream coming from? And if you have a huge dream, I want to be a rock star, then let's unwrap that dream a little bit and see what's the experience that lies at the heart of it, and make sure it's there for the right reasons and it's not all kind of ego-led. But actually, if you break it up, you might actually find that really the desire there is to be on stage and inspiring people, and that might be through music, but actually it might be other ways, or it might be that your passion for playing the guitar is just has you obsessing with this rock star dream. It's like, well, have you taken your guitar out in like 10 years? No. Why don't we start there? And you know, it's so it's actually just making sure, you know, where this dream is coming from, but then taking it seriously and getting really practical about it and turning it into a project and actually allowing it to be a possibility. And that's when the magic starts. That's when the magic happens. And I think the reason so many people don't feel fulfilled in life, I'm not saying, you know, we have levels of fulfillment, but there is a unique fulfillment that comes from being the artist of the life that you're living, that you can go, you'll be sitting in your house in Ibiza, the experience of being able to say, I dreamt this, and then I made it happen through commitment, through action, through conversation, through never giving up. And now I'm sitting here in this beautiful home that is ours, and the dream has come true and I'm living it. there is no fulfillment like it. It's like you're living a bit of magic. And that's why, even if it's a small dream, then it's worth going for, because you get that experience of you are actually using your unique human magic. You have got your magic wand. You are your own fairy godmother. And I don't care how cheesy that sounds, because honestly, when you do it, and there'll be people listening who, have totally made their dreams come true. And for those of you that have, you need to be going out there encouraging other people to do it as well, because everyone can be doing this. And it's not about necessarily going after huge, outlandish dreams, although I think there's something really powerful in allowing yourself to dream big. And sometimes just seeing how you can take that big dream and bring it to life in a small way. But I think what you're saying there, you did this when you had gone on your honeymoon and for the first time you'd stopped. I think we spend so much time in such a doing society, do. We don't stop enough and take a step back and ask ourselves, what do I want? Like, what do I really want? If I could create, dream up a life for myself, what would it be? We don't give ourselves space to dream.
Yeah.
It doesn't require going off for a 1 month honeymoon. Don't those of you listening think, well, that's why I'm gonna have to wait for that, find the right man, go get married, go on a honeymoon, and then I can start dreaming. It can be putting aside an evening or a weekend and just allowing yourself to dream.
Yeah.
And that is the beginning. It's exciting, isn't it?
When you were describing Ibiza, I was like,
it's gonna happen. And that belief part is absolutely essential. So what other reasons have you found that people, why they don't allow themselves to dream?
I think dreaming is a very courageous act. And I was thinking that when you were talking at the beginning, it really does take courage, because often it's going against the grain, and often it's thinking about something that doesn't exist yet for you or it may not exist in the world.
Yeah.
And without having a plan of how this could come true, I think because it's so courageous, you also feel incredibly vulnerable when you are dreaming. And when you're vulnerable, you're exposed, and there is the prospect of failure, fear of failure, or fear of success. That might actually be a bigger fear for some people, because it's an incredibly vulnerable experience. I think the tendency is to avoid it, because then it stops that feeling of discomfort. It avoids that vulnerable experience, and you numb out that feeling of discomfort. But as Brené Brown says, when you numb out the really uncomfortable emotions that you don't want to experience, you also numb out all of the wonderful emotions like joy and connection and happiness and contentment. You numb out everything, because we can't selectively numb.
Yeah. And it's interesting, actually, I have sometimes with clients, if they're really struggling to dream about their future, I'll get them to look at their childhood and tell me about a dream that they had they never realised. So it could be, I don't know, learning to play the guitar, back to the guitar again, anything. It could be a small thing. And I would get them to bring that dream to life, honour that dream, take it seriously and make it real, even if it's in a small way. And it would be incredible, the effect on people. They would go and do it. And it could be like a childhood dream they had of like 6 years old, to go roller skating in the park. They'd always seen the other kids do it. Aww. They were never allowed. They never got roller skates. And so they gave themselves that dream. And the effect was amazing. It was like the dream, the sort of lid to your dream box was open. And suddenly they'd be able to dream other areas of their life. And I saw that happen with so many clients. I was like, this is like magic. So getting ourselves to dream again isn't difficult, but I think it is that resistance to the fear of, what if I look like an idiot? I mean, we have so many images and narratives in our society of the mad dreamer, the person with the crackpot idea that everyone's sniggering about and laughing about. So when you come up with a big dream, like, I want us to live in Ibiza in a wonderful, beautiful villa, you can have that fear of, oh God, am I crazy? Is this a stupid idea? Mm-hmm. Is everyone else going to be laughing at me for like going after this dream, knowing that they can see that it's never going to happen and I'm being a naive fool? Yeah. Like, it's really, we are given such a strong narrative of that. That again, I think that's what stops us from daring to dream and allowing ourselves to dream, because we're like, am I being an idiot? Am I being some like dreamer, fantasist, weirdo? It's like, no, you are allowing yourself to use the first essential tool in becoming someone who actually is the artist of their own life and designs a life they love. And unless you do that, you will never feel fully fulfilled and alive, and you'll never be experiencing the full human experience, because so much of it, I believe, is about being the dreamer and creator and going through that full cycle of creating your own life.
So tell us about how you made your dreams come true.
How did you make your dreams come true? So it all kind of happened around a time when my dad was making a really big dream of his come true. So up until then, we'd been a really ordinary family, suburban family living in London. My dad worked in an office, and he had had a dream when I was about 14 where he suddenly decided that he was going to sail around the world, as you do. And he said, he told me this years later when we were sitting on his boat in Brazil as he'd just crossed the Atlantic with my brother. And I said to him, I was like, was there a point where you had this dream? And he said, yeah, October the, I don't know, 29th, 1994. And I was like, what? He said, went to the video shop. I took that's dating it. I took out a documentary on sailing. He'd always loved sailing. He had a boat, by the small boat by this point. And he watched it. It was about a man sailing around the world. And he said, I just knew it. I knew I had to do it. So he spent like all night feverishly trying to figure out how he was going to make this happen, because he was really due to retire, like, you know, normal, 65. And he realized if he's going to sail around the world, he'd need to retire like by 55. So he was going to have to figure out a different way of working, where he was going to have to go into a company where he would get shares, help the company to grow, all this sort of stuff. He called my mum, who was out in Argentina at the time. He said, I've got a dream. Will you support me? We'll have to sell the house. She said, I'll support the dream. We're not selling the house. He went back to the drawing board. He scribbled out. He's like, okay, I've got the plan. So he went out there and he looked for a new job where that would happen. It took a year or so, I think. That's my understanding of it. But of course, a man going into a company and going, not only am I driven by money, but I've got an even bigger dream. They were just like, fan, this guy is really going to bust his ass to make this work, because he's got such a big dream attached to it. Anyway, he achieved his dream 3 years early.
Wow.
So at 52, literally the summer that I was leaving university, he was heading off at the beginning of what ended up being an incredible sailing adventure. I think 4 years later, he sailed to the Antarctic with my brother. Wow. Like, about three boats do that a year. Like, you know, just amateur boats that aren't like big ships. So he just was like one dream after another. So imagine me out of university, and I start going into an office job, like a 9-to-5. And my parents are calling me from Africa going, oh my God, we've just arrived in Morocco and da-da-da. And, you know, just like these wonderful adventures. And I was like, fuck this. Yeah. I'm not having this boring office life. No way. I hadn't enjoyed school. I hated the whole office thing. I hated having a boss. I hated having a 9-to-5. And my parents, ironically, were going, you must stick with this. You know, work is called work for a reason. My mum was like, I think you should just go into a secretarial course and just have something reliable. And I decided at that point, I was like, are you kidding me? I said, I'm not going to do as you say. I'm going to do as you're doing. And I'm going to take my own dreams seriously. And I'm going to follow them, because I was being told all the time, stop dreaming. It's time to, you've stepped into the real world. This is just how it is. And I was like, you know what? This isn't how it is. I know there are people out there living interesting lives, not doing a 9-to-5 office job. I got really rebellious and bolshy, finally, in my 20s. I've been such an obedient child and such a miserable child as a result. And that is honestly the course of my life changed from that moment. And I was co-founder of Career Shifters about a year later. So I got into starting my own business, and then probably about 4 years after that, I was going off and traveling around the UK in a camper van and figured out a way to work while on the move. Then I went off traveling all over the world with my business in a backpack, and I was living a life beyond my wildest dreams. This was not what I was prepared for at school. This is not what they led me to believe would be possible. And if I had said to people, I'd love to have a job where, like, I help people and I talk and I have loads of fun and I work with people I love and we work when we want, and to be honest, we can work from anywhere ever in the world, they'd be like, okay, so head out the clouds, yeah. Let's stop dreaming.
Yeah.
And that's what I mean.
Yeah.
We are not prepared for that.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, today we have options that are available to us that weren't available then. Like, the internet didn't exist when I was at school, so there's that. But I just think that I was so lucky that I had the example of my father.
Yeah.
Who, he went, I've got a big dream and I'm going to go after it. Mm-hmm. That it gave me permission.
Mm-hmm.
And it shifted my whole perspective on dreams and what their role is.
Mm-hmm.
And going from being ashamed that I was a dreamer and me and my silly old dreams to going, no, me and my dreams, I'm going to take them seriously and to follow my dreams. And then that's ended up being my passion. For that led me into coaching. And that's been my passion ever since. And I think that this is why this conversation, I think, is so important. And that's why I think we have to learn to dream again, I think, for our own individual happiness. But I genuinely think for, like, the evolution of our species, we need people to be dreaming and dreaming futures, positive futures, where sustainable futures, and that we all are kind of believing in that and taking those dreams seriously. So that's why I just think it's so important that we all learn to dream again, because it is the key to living a happy, fulfilled life. And it's so much fun, isn't it, though? As someone, for you, that someone, you know, you hadn't given yourself time or permission to dream.
Yeah.
Now the idea of this Ibiza dream,
mm-hmm.
how does it feel to be allowing yourself to have such a big dream?
It feels so inevitable now. It's not like, oh, maybe I'll do that, maybe I'll make that dream come true. It's like, it's happening.
Oh my God, it's happening.
And next year, you had a really good idea to do a recce. And so I said to my husband, let's spend a month out there of just trying on the lifestyle and exploring, meeting people, like exploring mm-hmm. what options are available to us and just connecting. Because I think, you know, sitting here and Googling things and reading blogs, it's not really giving me the full experience of what it could be like. And also, yeah. It's quite fear-mongering when you just start, you know, looking at house prices and things like that. And
yeah.
I think for me, being a connector, I need to be out there and meeting people and
yeah.
making those connections. I think that's where we'll really know if it's what we want. But I'm like 99% sure it will be.
I mean, most dreams are talked into reality. They are not researched into reality.
Yeah.
They are not Googled into reality. Google has its place, but that is not where you need to be spending your time.
Yeah.
When you're ready to make a dream come true, it's getting
yeah.
out there, taking action, having conversations,
yeah.
and it becomes more and more real.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my God, it's so exciting.
Well, I was talking to a friend of ours who was just who had just spent all summer there, and she was saying, you know, I think I'm going to be out there next year. And I was like, oh, it feels so tangible now. It feels so possible to go out there next year, spend a month there, approach it like our wedding, where we do the recce, do a
yeah.
budget, have a plan, and we made that happen in
yeah.
a year. So I think it's just taking it as seriously as something that's in the diary, like an event, like our
yeah.
wedding. For me, that's like a really good analogy.
Oh my God, I'm so excited.
Yeah.
So I think this would be the perfect moment to let everyone know about
yeah.
our new Dream Big 5-day challenge.
Yep. So yeah, so the 5-day Dream Big Challenge is all about helping you to start dreaming again, and not just to dream, but to take those dreams seriously and commit to them.
So if while you've been listening to this podcast, you've been thinking, yes, I need to learn to dream again, I want to unlock my dreams, then come and join us on this challenge. It is designed for you. So we keep it really simple. We know everyone's busy. Each day we will send you an email with one step for you to take, a little video from us, and so each day builds up on the last until at the end of it, you've got a nice, juicy dream, just like Vicky's Ibiza dream, to get going with. Yeah! So to sign up, go over to loveprojectlove.com/dreambig, and we'll see you there on the 16th.
For listening to the Project Love podcast. We really hope you enjoy this episode, and if you did, then come and subscribe on iTunes, and we'll deliver each new episode straight to your device. And we would love it if you would leave us a review to help us spread the love far and wide. And if you can't think of anything to write, then just tap 5 stars and say best podcast ever. Thank you.